missing this.
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
You're very welcome back. The Guinness Pro 14 returns this weekend, albeit in quite unusual circumstances, with derbies across the competition. Two interprovincial matches will take place at the Aviva Stadium behind closed doors. Leinster against Munster, with Munster still eyeing up top spot in their conference. Leinster already qualified as a home semi-finalist, given the remarkable season they've had domestically so far this year, while Ulster can book their place in the last four as the runners-up in Conference A if they can beat Connacht. Ulster need one win in their last two fixtures. They play Leinster in their last game for the chance to qualify for the last four of the competition. Leinster and Ulster also in the final stages of their preparation for their quarterfinals in the Heineken Champions Cup, which are coming up on the third weekend of next month. To break it all down into this weekend of return, we're joined by Ireland rugby legend Brian O'Driscoll. Brian, how are things?
Good evening, Will. How are you?
Actually, look, I'm not too bad. I mean, we've got to this point where rugby is coming back. It's felt like a long time away, given that those teams were just getting into that kind of point of the season where the Six Nations was about to come to a close. They were getting ready for quarterfinals in Europe and the tail end of the Pro 14. And then everything just has to halt down for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I think as players, you look at the season of in stages. You know, you try and just battle through pre-season, just graft it out and get it done. And then the early work is to try and set yourself up for later on for the business end of the season to be in the mix, and be that, you know, domestic league and the Pro 14 or into qualification to knockout stages of Europe. So, you know, two of the Irish teams managed to make Champions Cup quarterfinals. You know, there's potential for three to be in the semi-finals of the Pro 14. So they were in rude health, even if the national team probably struggled a little bit in this year's Six Nations. And it is nice sometimes when I've came off plenty of disappointing Six Nations, but having that carrot of playing in a European quarterfinal is something to really relish and something to look forward to. And no doubt these players, after 6 months sitting on their hands, you know, training hard, getting their guns big, they're looking forward to getting out, even though it is going to be a very different atmosphere that's going to greet them on Saturday.
Well, guns being big, we've seen the transformation pictures of some of the players. Bundy Aki, who'll be joining us on Saturday's programme, put on definitely a little bit of mass. Andy Friend was saying he's like a caged animal. And Johnny Sexton appears to have been in the gym quite a bit during the off-season too. We saw some of the pictures where he's coming back a little bit bulked up too. I guess it's understandable given the amount of gym work these guys were probably doing individually.
Yeah, I think you've also to realise that during the course of a season, there isn't that much of an opportunity to build your body into the way you want it to be. You know, the games come ticking fast, and it's very hard to be able to focus on, you know, building muscle mass or building strength or looking after certain injuries. So it was a very unique situation that they found themselves in, where they could literally focus on themselves, not have to worry about the team component, and concentrate on getting themselves right. And for some people, that it'll have worked an absolute treat. You know, guys that would have had long-term injuries, I suppose the likes of Jonathan Davis in Wales comes to mind, who had a very bad knee injury at the World Cup. And, you know, knowing that you're going to miss the rest of the season, but then it getting cut short, I suppose from his perspective, it was an added bonus that the pandemic did come in and gave him an opportunity not to miss game time. Whereas there's other players, older players like Johnny Sexton, you know, who's 35 now, who, you know, has talked about wanting to play week on week because that's when he gets the most out of himself. Even though coaches are trying to protect him now and watch his minutes, you know, time is starting to run out for him. He's running out of runway. We don't want to retire him, send him to pasture yet, but you know, how many 36, 37, 38-year-old out-halves are there? Not very many. So he's definitely come well into the winter of his career. So he must be desperate to get back and getting some game time, knowing that, you know, the end's not too far away.
I spoke to Jordan Lammer last Thursday evening, and he was saying that this gave him kind of a unique opportunity too, because generally he's thinking about international games, back into playing for Leinster. You're trying to get a break before pre-season, then you're back into pre-season, and all the focus is on getting fit for the next campaign. He said he had a bit of extra time, particularly he was looking to try and improve himself at 15. He was working on his high fielding, he was working on his kicking. This pandemic has actually provided a pretty unique opportunity for some of these players maybe to hone some of those skills that in the normal course of a rugby season, they wouldn't get that kind of reflective time.
No, they wouldn't. And I think it's good to look at glass half full, where you have an opportunity to hone the skills, the deficiencies that maybe lie within your game. But the reality is, you know, you are missing out on playing, you know, high level club and international games, and nothing beats that. So, you know, credit to those players that saw the opportunity to, you know, develop themselves as players. Some players went off and finished third level courses that they had been mulling over. Some people went and found new new skills to keep them, you know, to help pass the time and so on. So I think it's important to try and look at these last 4 or 5 months and see what you've achieved as a player and how you can come back and hit the ground running. Obviously, there's not much of a lead-in time to playing international games in the October and November windows. So, you know, you really do not have an opportunity like you might in other seasons to warm into things, play 4 or 5 games and still hit peak form to impress the international coaches. That's not going to be the case. You're going to have to be very good, you know, by game 2, 3, if you're going to find yourself playing in the green jersey in a couple of months' time.
And realistically, Brian, how rusty can we expect players to be this weekend? Because they had to come back initially in smaller group sessions and they were training as forwards and backs, and they've only really had a few weeks now to prepare properly in match situations. Can we expect ring rust in these two games this weekend?
Absolutely. When have they had a 6 month preseason? When have they had that level of time away, other than on a long term injury? It never happens. So of course you're going to have ring rust. You're going to have guys that will struggle to get to the pace of the game, no matter what level of cardio that they would have done in person or as a team over the last few weeks. And nothing we talk about that match fitness is very, very hard to replicate in training. So there will be frustrations from crowd. You will expect to see the standard of what we saw down in New Zealand from the off. I think it'll take a while to get to the level that we would be hopeful for. But I think these players are so looking forward to it that if anything, you know, they might end up trying too hard of hitting their straps immediately. And I think the way to play themselves in is just doing the simple things well. Try and minimize mistakes and get into the game plan of whatever team they're playing for and work as units, and progressively they'll get better over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But it's an exciting time. They've had to be patient. I've spoken to a number of players over the course of the last few months, and it is hard. It's been hard for everyone, but it's been hard from their perspective, because You live in, as a professional rugby player, for the big occasion. You don't live to train and to get yourself in perfect condition. You live to play in the big encounters against the Munsters and the international teams. So they've had to sit that out and now bide their time.
Well, a rugby coverage here on Off the Ball with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. Before we look at the fixtures themselves, Brian, you know, bad news again for Joey Carberry. Very frustrating news for him. He's had a horrific 16 months with injuries, probably going back to that initial ankle injury, then re-injuring it against Edinburgh. He just about gets back for the World Cup warm-ups last summer. Then he hurts his knee against Italy. And then he ends up basically having to nurse that injury for a long period of time. We were hopeful that he was going to be back to hit the ground running for the series internationally and also for the end of the season with Munster. Now an indefinite period that he's been ruled out for. He's just been horrifically unlucky these last 16 months.
Yeah, he has. And you could only speculate as to whether, you know, being rushed back for the World Cup, you know, caused longer term effects to that ankle. I'm sure it certainly didn't help him. You really feel for the guy. He's an incredibly talented footballer. He's gone and made the difficult decision to go down and play for, you know, his home province's biggest rivals. He's ingratiated himself in the setup. He's a clearly very popular player amongst his peers. A few occasions that we did get to see him last year before the World Cup, he was on fire. He's had some brilliant individual performances in a brand that maybe they haven't seen for a while, and helping them develop that. So it must be hugely frustrating from his own point of view, but also from Johan van Graan and Stephen Larkham's point of view, that they haven't been able to get the best out of a player that they need that quality of talent to lead them and guide them around the park if they're going to go and win some silverware. I have to say, it sounds pretty bad. The fact that, you know, the terminology that they're using, you know, we're really going to look after Joey for an indefinite period of time. It certainly sounds as though there's potential for another surgery in there, and we're not going to see him in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. So I suppose from everyone in Ireland, we wish him well and hope that he does return to form, to his previous form. Not only is it not good for Munster, it's not good for Ireland, because if you look at our other 10s and the level of experience that they have, you know, obviously Johnny Sexton at 35 years of age, but Jack Carty didn't quite happen for him at the World Cup, and struggled a little bit with his provincial team after that. Billy Burns, uncapped, Ian Madigan coming back in, being away from the international setup for a while. Ross Byrne, you know, a limited international experience. Harry Byrne, lots of talent. So it's not only Munster's, you know, struggles in the number 10 jersey, backup for Johnny Sexton, and pressure on trying to displace Johnny Sexton is what we thought Joey Carberry was going to provide, certainly after the World Cup, but it just hasn't materialised because of this bad run of luck.
Because there's a feeling out there, Brian, that maybe this opens the door perfectly for Ian Madigan. He comes back to these shores, he's eligible to play again. Potentially he could get back in with Ulster as early as this weekend, but he is going to have to try and displace Burns, who was really impressive for Ulster last year.
Yeah, and you know, I've obviously played with Ian Madigan, and I'm an Ian Madigan fan, but you know, you come into a new environment, you know, they've given him a 1-year contract. So straight away, he has to hit the ground running to try and impress, because whatever about, you know, trying to get back and play for Ireland, he's also thinking about his livelihood of, you know, of next year. And no player wants a 1-year contract. So he's going to put extra pressure on himself to deliver for Ulster. There will be a pecking order. I wouldn't imagine Dan McFarlane will be throwing Ian Madigan in immediately as his first choice number 10. The other thing is, because John Cooney's such an exceptionally good goal kicker, that's a facet of Ian Madigan's play that's got him selected in teams over the course of the last number of years, that maybe doesn't actually shine as much of a light on what he brings to the team, even though he's a very proficient footballer. So, you know, he has, I don't know, is it the World Cup in 2015 was, or maybe 2016 was the last time he played in a green jersey. You know, sides move on, and it's hard to delve back into those that have been there and have been in the shadows for a number of years. I think looking at the other possibilities coming through, you've got to read between the lines with Andy Farrell's selection of Harry from Leinster.
Harry Byrne coming in.
Harry Byrne getting brought into the Six Nations setup. You know, for training purposes, you have to imagine that he's going to be a firm favourite of Andy Farrell. So maybe it's time to blood one of these younger guys and get them game time and get them experience if they're going to be the ones that are going to take this team forward, you know, to France in 2023.
In terms of Munster's number 10 position for what could be their 3 remaining games of the season, everything is now in the JJ Hanrahan basket at this point. Tyler Blindell has been forced into retirement. That injury for Joey Carberry. Johan van Graan was asked at the press conference this week if they would consider looking for short-term cover, and he says he's fully backing JJ Hanrahan. He's the top scorer in the Pro 14 this year, Brian. He's got over 100 points scored already. He seems to put in some good performances just before the break, led them to 3 victories just before the pandemic. Is JJ Hanrahan good enough to lead Munster potentially to a Pro 14 title, though?
I'm not sure about that. I like JJ as a footballer, but I guess it's well documented he hasn't had the consistency needed to be able to guide a team like Munster to the holy grail of obviously Europe, but, you know, but even since 2011 they haven't managed to win the Pro 14 or Celtic League as it was all those years ago. So There is a lot of pressure on him. I think if you look at the three understudies underneath him, Flannery, Healy and Jack Crowley, you know, these guys have barely any experience between them. So it does put a huge amount of pressure on JJ. Teams will definitely go after him as a player, knowing that there's not much backup, and trying to, you know, legally, you know, put pressure on him and see if they can get him to exit the field early on with the knowledge that there's huge inexperience at such a key position within the Munster ranks. You would anticipate that Munster will definitely be on the lookout for a more experienced out half to be a short-term replacement for Joey Carberry. I've heard a few different names being bandied around in the papers, Quade Cooper and an aging Dan Carter, but I think they have to look at something else. I don't think you can rely on just JJ Hanrahan to play all those, you know, big games for him, with the knowledge that, you know, one soft tissue injury or one knock would find one of those much more inexperienced players coming in and trying to guide them to that silverware.
Dare I suggest it, that if we get another potential loan between the provinces, if Harry Byrne is looking impressive, but he's clearly behind his brother and also Jonathan Sexton at Leinster, that the RFU could say, hey, here's a chance for Harry Byrne to play some first team rugby.
I don't think Leinster are going to give Harry Byrne up like they might have some other players. I think the realisation is that he is the future. I think there's a strong likelihood this year that he's going to leapfrog over his brother into being the number two, being in the Leinster 23 this season. I've been incredibly impressed with a couple of performances that I've seen by him. He's a different sort of 10 to his brother. He really attacks the line. He's very huge confidence in his own running game. I think he's a massive threat, but also has an ability to throw the pass really late. So he is of the Johnny Sexton mold, but if having a lot more ability to get through the space and the gap himself. You know, he's got younger legs, and he's got the confidence of youth as well to take that on. So I'd anticipate that he'll, you know, get himself into the reckoning at Leinster, and he'll put a lot of pressure on Johnny Sexton over the next season, 18 months, to potentially displace him.
Well, Munster have got one win in their last 11 trips to Dublin, but they've got two very interesting signings that have just arrived, Brian, and the pandemic has given them time to ease, first of all, the groin injury for Damien de Allende to get him back fully fit, but also Argus Sneeman is back and has had 3 or 4 weeks of training now. Both are available for this weekend. Peter O'Mahony was saying they brought a winning attitude to Limerick off the back of winning the World Cup. He thinks they're two signings that could maybe move them to the next level. How big are these two South Africans going to be for Munster in the coming seasons?
I think they're a huge signing huge signings for Munster. I probably agree with Peter O'Mahony that they do bring that winning mentality. Can you imagine the confidence that a World Cup success must bring you as a player and as an athlete? You know, Damien de Allende, there was question marks about, you know, him starting in that Springbok team, but he was undoubtedly one of the players of the tournament. Churned in a huge final performance against England as well. Sneeman came off the bench in most games and was, a one-man destruction ball, carrying ball, offloading, sucking defenders in, played exactly to the game plan that South Africa wanted. So what I think the two of them do brilliantly well is they're able to mix their game up. They do bring that brute force, but they do bring that ability to change the point of contact as well. And as soon as you think they're crashing into contact, they have the sleight of hand to be able to release it to other players and move the ball to different channels. And I think that's what you need. If you become a predictable player, you know, you'll find yourself getting gang tackled. You have to have that flexibility to play a multitude of different types of games. I think that's what these two players bring in spades. I couldn't believe that Sneeman's only 25, de Allende's only 28. So we've got these players in the prime of their athleticism. And this is the time that you want to get international caliber players. You don't want to get them when, you know, they're coming for their payday, for their pension at 32, 33. You want to get them while they're coming into the peak of their form. And you know, looking back, probably 27, 28, with the level of experience you get before that playing international rugby, but then not having too many miles on the clock is is the perfect age to come in. And watching Snyman down in Japan, it looked as though it was underage rugby at times with him taking on players in the J League. So I'm excited from a rugby spectator perspective. I definitely think they'll add, beside the ballast they'll bring to Munster, I think, you know, training with these guys and seeing the confidence that they exude, I think the players will feed off that down in Munster, and it'll make them a very different proposition if they can get their number 10 sorted, or if JJ Hanrahan continues some of the early season form.
Brian, how do your old team Leinster approach the next month now? We're 1 month out from this quarterfinal against Saracens in the European Cup. They could potentially win their third successive Pro 14 before that. There's a lot of games coming up over the next 4 or 5 weeks. Leinster know they've already qualified for the semis. They know they've got a home semi-final. If you're Leo Cullen, how much do you mix it up over the next few weeks just to make sure your team stays fresh?
Yeah, I think you do absolutely mix it up. I think they have the capabilities of doing that, though. I think we've seen over the course of the season to go unbeaten and to use as many players as they have used is testament to the quality of the training and the realization as players come in that they're just a cog in the wheel. And you know, sometimes you lose a world-class international operator and a younger player from the academy comes in and it looks like a seamless transition. And that's the quality of the depth of Leinster at the moment. They have so much talent coming off the assembly line. You look at the quality of their academy, you look at the quality of their sub-academy even, guys that are coming off playing in Ireland schools, being tipped as future internationals, but not even able to get into the Leinster Academy, such as the strength of it. So they are in rude health at the moment. They will want to go this season unbeaten. I'm sure they haven't said it out publicly, but the fact that they've gone to this point in the league unbeaten, they've gone 6-for-6, am I right in saying that, in Europe as well? Yep. So, you know, it's definitely something that they will have talked about behind closed doors as, you know, you talk about the Arsenal team of Vieira and Petit and the Invincibles. They will want to try and do that double-double that very few teams have managed to do. And to go an unbeaten season would be a remarkable feat. The added bonus is that there's every likelihood that they could play all the remaining six, seven games in the Aviva Stadium. So what a great carrot that is too. So it starts with a good performance against Munster and continuing to build on the confidence that they developed over the course of the first 7 or 8 months of the year. And it'll take a very good team playing some excellent rugby on the day to beat this Leinster side.
When it comes to the Aviva Stadium, and this is going to be true of both games this weekend, they will have played captain's run, some of these players, with their international teams. But it's going to be very unusual to be in a cavernous stadium with just 100 support staff around them this weekend, no fans, for what would have been two big fixtures in the normal calendar. It's going to be very strange.
Yeah, it is going to be odd. But I'm hating the term the new normal, but I think you find what normal is, the new normal, very quickly because through repetition and because you have to adapt to those new circumstances that you find yourself in. Listening to guys, wearing masks at team meetings must seem absolutely alien for the first week or two, but now it becomes second nature and that's just what's expected of you. All the different elements of traveling to the game in two different buses and what you can and can't do, all these things seem alien a couple of months ago, but now they're so desperate to play that it becomes second nature. So it'll be interesting from a spectator point of view, hearing the chat, hearing how vocal certain players are and who those individuals are. You know, it was always Sean O'Brien. You know, anytime you look back over footage of a game watching internationally, it's always Sean O'Brien's voice on the ref mic, where there's no Sean O'Brien anymore. So who takes over that mantle? Who's going to be the one that's driving the standards, constantly communicating, constantly, you know, giving quality feedback to teammates, getting them up when a mistake has been made, putting pressure on the referee for good decisions. All of those small little things add up in conversation piece. And we're going to be in a front row ticket of listening and hearing all of that, because we're going to get limited background noise. I know Different broadcasters are using some FX sound, but those players are going to be playing in an environment where it'll be deadly silent. It'll always be like a trial match, like a possibles versus probables, and, you know, playing for your international place. So what will be interesting, I was listening to Rory O'Connor early on in the week, what will be interesting is teams trying to work out the other side's calls.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding when you play off 9 and off 10. And I think that's where there's going to have to be an adaptability to have multiple calls, playing off 9, playing off 10, playing off 12, rather than just talking turbo or tiger or whatever the trigger might be, because very quickly sides will work that out. So it'll be interesting to see who adapts to that best.
When it comes to international selection, by my maths, Connacht need an absolute miracle if they're going to qualify. They need to win both games of bonus points, for Scarlets to get fewer points than they do in the last two fixtures, and they would need Munster to lose both games without even picking up a losing bonus point. So Connacht know at this stage they've got two games left in their season. For their players who want to impress Andy Farrell ahead of these six international games that are now left, I guess that's Connacht's motivation for the next two games.
Yeah, it is. And It's unlikely that we're going to see, you know, too many bolters coming out of Connacht that haven't, you know, previously played international rugby because of the injuries in the second row with Ian Henderson in Ulster and James Ryan with Leinster, and the question marks over their eligibility with fitness come October, November. Is there an opportunity for Gavin Thornbury potentially to pave his way into an international space within the 23 or in the reckoning, perhaps? So a big couple of weeks for him. I think there's a pressure that's taken off Connacht because the high unlikelihood of them qualifying. So they're able to go out and play their way and play with a freedom. And I think if they play as a unit, that's the best way that, you know, more of those Connacht players are going to find themselves within that Irish reckoning. But for me, it'll still be the, you know, 3-4 players that have consistently been in the mix in the thoughts of Andy Farrell that will play in October, November.
When it comes to Ulster, this is the golden ticket opportunity. Beat Connacht this weekend, you're assured of a place in the semis, and you can probably rotate a bit against Leinster, because, you know, not unlike Leinster, Ulster got to be thinking about that trip to France coming up next month and how they're going to actually work their squad, because two very important players are now missing in Balakoon, and also you say Ian Henderson is probably out of that quarter final given that he's had surgery and they expect 5 to 6 weeks for him to come back. In all likelihood, Ulster have to be very careful about how they manage their minutes over the next few weeks too.
Yeah, they do, and Will Addison as well, you know, has that back injury that seems to be niggling at him. So yeah, I think they will. What they want to do is they want to get their victory on Sunday and not worry about needing to pick up losing bonus points, rather than focusing on having two games to qualify. They'll want to do it in game one and then give themselves the opportunity to play certain players in the second game, with a view to then going on and playing in a semi-final and then subsequently in a quarter-final down in Toulouse as well, and really focus on that. It does become about squads when you've got a cluster of fixtures like this and where you need to play your best team in consecutive weeks. But if you are given the opportunity to rest one or two key players, you absolutely jump at that chance, and Ulster will try and get the job done on Sunday and give themselves the chance of resting the key players that are going to play a vital role in the coming weeks if they're going to get into any European semi-final or into any Pro 14 final.
I have my suspicions these interprovincials might work a bit like the Christmas fixtures, where you get an A team on one week and a B team on the other week, depending on what motivation is required over the next 7 days or so. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. The international window is coming up as well, Brian. As you mentioned, we've got this new competition where every team is going to be assured of 4 matches this winter, 3 pool games, and then a 4th fixture to finish things out. You've got the 2 Six Nations games to be completed as well. It's an interesting and quite different winter ahead for Andy Farrell and his selection team here.
Yeah, it is. You know, they would never have had a run of games like this other than in a World Cup. It's a great opportunity. As much as the players will have really struggled over the last number of months, Andy Farrell and his coaching ticket would as well. And there's only so much tape that they can look at, and only so much they can prepare against sides that they're going to be facing in October, November. So, yeah, they'll be enthused by games being played in the Aviva this weekend, and a great opportunity to see who's going to hit form immediately and who's going to be top of their reckoning for automatic selection. There's key positions like John Cooney. You know, listening to him again last night, talking to Joe, he sounds very confident. He sounds like a player that is really buzzing to be back playing. And it continues that pressure on Conor Murray to deliver against Leinster on Saturday, knowing that he's breathing down his neck. So there's lots of those, one-on-one battles against players that will be hoping to vie for a starting 15 jersey in the first game for Ireland. But exciting times, knowing that there's so many high-quality international games coming along with European games and knockout games in the Pro 14. So yeah, it's a much more exciting time of year rather than September, October, when you're just kicking things off and people are finding their feet. People are going to be trying to find their feet, but if they don't, they're going to be out of these competitions, which puts a completely different complexion on things.
I think with John Cooney as well, Brian, I was listening to him last night, he was unfortunate in that he was ready for a starting berth in the game against Italy, and at the games at the Aviva Stadium against Wales and Scotland, there was an excitement even when it came up on the big screen that he was warming up, because his form for Ulster going into the Six Nations was outstanding, and the feeling was that he had earned that start against Italy, and then obviously the pandemic put pay to that.
And obviously also the performance against England wasn't what any of those players involved would have expected, and maybe there was an opportunity for there to be a number of changes. The complexion of that changes too, because they now have had this 6 month break where you almost revert back to zero, and everyone is going from a starting point. You almost forget what happened in that English performance, and now whoever delivers in the first few games will be the ones that get the starting berth in the international team. And that's why the likes of Cooney and the likes of Conor Murray will be really hungry to perform from the off. John Cooney, no doubt, there's talk about him being the Lions' number nine. First and foremost, he has to continue his form for Ulster and then get into that Irish team and try and make that number nine jersey his own. And if he can do that and Ireland can be successful, then maybe he can have bigger aspirations as the season goes on.
Brian, on a very final note, your former teammate Fergus McFadden, who appears to be extremely popular among any of his teammates, to talk about the work he gets through. Unfortunately, he's picked up this injury, which is going to keep him out for 5 or 6 weeks. There's the possibility he's already played his last game for Leinster. How good was Fergus McFadden? I don't mean to write his rugby obituary here, but realistically, it's going to be a big fight for him to get back.
It is, and it's funny, it catches so many players. Caught Dan Carter, during the most recent rugby down in New Zealand, the hope of him playing for the Blues, but he was having calf issues. It's the one thing that caught me towards the end of my career and catches so many other players, the old man calf syndrome. And unfortunately, the timing seems pretty brutal. The players sounded pretty devastated for him, knowing that if it's a 5 or 6 week injury, it's unlikely that he's going to have an opportunity to play for Leinster again. But I think it's all the different components to Ferg. He's such a battler. As I said before, he's someone for the hard ground, but he's someone for conditions like the last couple of days. He's a guy for all weather, but he's the heart and soul of the dressing room as well, and the biggest laugh on a night out. And it's very rare that you have a player that pulls all of that together. So, yeah, he'll be a huge loss for Leinster, but here's hoping that he managed to get back in 3 or 4 weeks and he gets a little bit of a cameo, because he deserves the opportunity to say goodbye properly, and hopefully with a little bit of Leinster silverware.
We'll see what happens with both him and Rob Kearney. Brian, thanks a million. Our rugby coverage, of course, here on Off the Ball, with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everybody in. We'll take a short break. Golf Weekly when we return.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. everyone in.
Missing this?
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.